Five, four, three, two, one. Life and such, guys.
Good.
Interesting.
Yes. That's the word I'd use.
Getting off the ground.
Yeah. I just having a little bit of startup trouble with the episode. It's no big deal.
Yep.
Not at all. Because we're professionals at everything we do.
Yeah, don't quote us.
Well. Anyway.
Yeah,
I have nothing to add to that.
You can't add to that.
That's our policy. Really? Don't quote us.
TTV, don't quote us. How's everyone's lives?
Our lives are life-ish.
I've been tired.
The proper term is
I've been very tired this week. Because I've been going to bed a bit late, then having to wake up at 5:20. And last night I had to type up an essay and finish up a PowerPoint, and I was up past 12. So I was like awfully tired today.
From 2006 to 2010, I would like go to bed at like 1 to 2 in the morning and get up at like 6 every day. For the majority of the year, every year, for 4 years. I'm surprised.
Okay, you guys have problems.
I'm surprised.
I have stuff to do, LJ. I'm a busy man. Hence, little amount of sleep this week.
Yes.
Well.
Okay, may as well get the show on the road. So, I'm Mistuck.
I'm LJ.
And I'm Tenebrae Invictus.
And this is TTV episode 43, alright?
Yes.
Yes, no, maybe so, okay. 43.
Yes, no, maybe so. Is your answer.
So, yes, it is. So, alright, may as well get straight into the first bit of stuff we have to talk about today, which, you guessed it,
is
the news. No, not you, our audience, considering we've never broken from this pattern. Yeah, but I wish... I know this is very random. I wish BTP would get their Hot Topics working again.
Yes. And the members.
So we
spotlight.
Could have, like, another segment. Yeah. Well, that too. Yes. This is our Hot Topics discussion.
This is for you, BZP. Fix it!
Yes. Yes. If any staff members, like I know some staff members watch our listen/watch our videos. If any of you are listening to this...
Fix it!
You've been back up for like a year. I can't imagine it's that difficult.
It's closing in on a year.
Yeah. Oh, the BTP downtime of 2011. Anyway, I'm getting off topic. Let's head straight into our first segment, the news. In the news this week, we have Easy Power author, it's published, S.A.D. Robots, stealthy, destructive, conflicted. And Halo 4, Complex, Ragnarok, Promethean weaponry, and assorted info. And that's the news, but no commentary yet. That will come in due time.
Not yet.
Not yet, no. Really?
Never.
Train accident. Wow.
So, okay. So,
what are your thoughts on the their author getting published? This is Golly G. You may have heard.
Oh, I was about.
You may have not.
I was about to say it took Greg that long, but he didn't publish a little bit before that.
Well, I just thought. Yes, it's Golly G. Famous BZP author.
Yes.
I'm not entirely sure how long it's been since she's been on BZP.
About a couple days. No, she's largely inactive, but she comes back to, like, repost stories and whatnot. But she's been gone a very long time.
She's been around since, like, 2003, I think.
Wow.
Possibly. Something. Maybe earlier.
I'll check. Continue.
Oh, it's very neat.
2002.
It's very neat that she got published and whatnot.
Yes.
She can give us a discount on her book.
No, yes. She really can't.
Why would she give us a discount?
I mean, BZ Power members.
That's a lot of people
really can't.
A discount, too.
Yep, she's getting no money from us.
She's not getting any money from us anyway.
100% discount isn't really a discount, if you ask me.
Yes, 100% discount. I wasn't exactly going to ask that much, but I guess I could.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. What are your guys' thoughts?
That's cool. I have no interest in reading the book, but...
Probably a good book, but no, I doubt I'm going to get around to reading it.
It's taken a while, but it definitely has paid off with all of the writing, so congratulations again.
Yes. Alright. Woohoo. Next bit of news on the table is... What is the next bit of news? I'm completely blanking. Oh, yes, the member spotlight. Yeah, not the member spotlight, but the MOC spotlight on the front page of BZ.
Yep.
It's this SAD sad robot. I saw like the thumbnail of the mock. I was like, what the heck am I looking at? Is this like some kind of suit that some dude like steps into and walks around in?
I don't think so.
Make it.
Because it's a robot.
Yeah, exactly. They're actually at the table. I was like, oh, okay.
No question.
Did Birkin make it?
No.
No. Anyhow. Lord Oblivion.
I'm not sure. Oh, Lord Oblivion. I guess I should have figured. That's indicative of his style.
No, actually, I was just curious if Birkin's made it. Otherwise, it's completely rubbish. It's inferior to, like, everything. It sucks.
Righto.
Okay. I'm done poking fun.
Yes.
Slash insulting.
Slash. You had to throw that in there. So anyway, what are your thoughts on this mock?
I think it's pretty cool. The design definitely looks neat. I don't know if he posted more than just those few shots, but to me it kind of reminds me... No, it looks like almost the exact same poses, but anyways, it reminds me of a mech from the whole MechWarrior series called Raven.
Oh, cool. Raven.
It's Raven.
I was just about to say, it's Raven. Give me to it. As is fair, I guess.
Oh, drats.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I'm really glad at all. I shouldn't be too glad. I don't know why. But I'm always saying busy page to, do member creation spotlights more often. They get the grasp for news so much. Unlike post random obscure articles no one really cares about. Yet they have a community full of creative people that like to do mocks and stories and whatnot, and they're rarely showcased, unlike other sites I can mention, like Eurobricks, that's constantly featuring stuff on the front page by members. And in fact, I think that makes up the majority of their news. But I could be wrong. That says something, considering they're a site for LEGO in general, not one specific theme, yet they even see fit to do that. Yet BZP is a site that's focused on Bionicle, and, you know, some other themes thrown in.
Was focused.
Wow. Yeah, they are more lax in doing it. I just find that kind of interesting. But still, whenever they do it, I approve. I just wish they do it more, or at the very least set up, well, not the very least, very most thing, as I should say, set up a schedule, like once a week, feature a mock, and then later on in the week, like a story or something. Or one a week, just doesn't matter.
We need to see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get to the drawn out news.
Yes, the drawn out news. It's always nice.
30 minutes, here we come.
Alright. So this week for Halo 4 news, we have two new maps, one of which being the remake from past Halo games, well, from a past Halo game. Two new vehicles finally confirmed. An interesting thing that I want to mention, so a couple other assorted bits of info, and then the Promethean weapons trailer. So, bunch of stuff, not really anything too, you know, noteworthy, but, well, that's a lie. Plenty of things noteworthy, but the majority of it, like the Promethean weapons trailer. They're Promethean weapons. Woohoo. There are six of them. Only six.
Only six. Not like you're incorporating even more factions now into the multiplayer weaponry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we traded parts for Prometheans?
Yes. Sure. And that'll anger me forever.
Great.
We still got the grav hammer.
Well. Yay, I guess. But yeah, my one complaint about Promethean weaponry is that they went through the trouble of like doing this whole enemy class. Okay, and they're really stressing that it's one of the selling points of Halo 4. We're breaking from the Covenant-only enemy mold. But they only give them six weapons, and none of them really unique in any special way. Like, look at the Covenant weapons. They had these unique weapons that really filled some interesting roles, like the plasma pistol being able to EMP vehicles. The Needler, I was really interested. There was nothing like comparable to that. The FRG was like a rocket launcher, but with completely different functionality that functioned in battle completely differently and, you know, had other applicable uses. With the Prometheans, we have a shotgun, an overpowered sniper rifle that can one hit kill anything. Yeah. The light rifle is interesting. So is the bolt shot. The incineration cannon, as cool as it is, you like shoot it, it explodes, then launches a bunch of other munitions everywhere, which then in turn explode for massive area of effect. That's cool. It's not really all that much of a departure, except it takes a heck of a long time to reload. The suppressor is generic AR counterpart, but with a very high damage output. And, wow. I think I just named all the weapons.
Yeah,
and then there's the pulse grenade, but yeah.
Yeah, I thought there was a bit of repetition. Like, I was watching the video, and while it was quickly zooming by, it was like some of the rifles seemed exactly the same, except one you could charge, I guess, if that's right. I don't remember.
Yeah. And that's another thing people said, they all kind of look the same.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, so I think they're cool weapons. I think they could have done with putting a couple more in, to be honest. But,
yeah.
Yeah, it's not really going to diminish my enjoyment of using them too much. It's just, you know, and I bet they'll put in more in future games. Like Halo, I'm really excited for Halo 5.
Are you guys ready? LJ, are you excited for Halo 5? LJ?
No, of course not. You know, very quick, I just want to mention to those who don't hear myself behind the curtain of the episodes. You don't hear him go, "So I'm excited for Halo 4." every hour. Multiple times an hour. Every day.
All day, every day.
That phrase. I think I've heard that phrase more times than I've heard Bring Back Bionicle from Makuta. I mean...
from
certain Australians.
I'm very excited for Halo 4.
I'm very excited for Halo 5. How about you guys?
I'm very excited for Call of Duty Modern War 4.
Modern War 4.
I remember that.
Dude, it's gonna be DB.
Wrong game.
A couple interesting bits of info about weapon and vehicles. There are only two new vehicles in Halo 4.
What?
Yeah, two new vehicles.
Oh,
two. One of which is a one of the two is a replacement for the elephant from Halo 3, and it's called the Mammoth. That's great.
Clever derivative.
Mm-hmm. And the second is called the Mantis, and it's a mech. And you can pilot it around, it can walk around, and it has dual fire, I'd assume rockets and chain gun.
Yeah,
and then it has a stomping attack. And that's all we know about it thus far. I have not actually seen any footage.
So are they only adding new UNSC vehicles, or are there vehicles from the other guys?
Yes.
Like,
that's a good question. That's the thing. We've heard two new vehicles. Apparently, the only two... I would be shocked if there aren't any Promethean vehicles. It's looking like there aren't going to be. And the Covenant does not seem like they're going to be getting any new ones. No.
You come up to some Promethean block, and then all of a sudden it assembles in front of you as you hop in.
Yeah. Yes. That's what people wanted, actually. But... I don't know. The vehicles in this game... the ones they're bringing back, like the Falcon, which shouldn't even be in the game if you're going by lore. And then I still assume they're going to bring back the Revenant from Reach, just because they're bringing back the Falcon. Why wouldn't they bring back the Revenant?
What was the other one from Halo 2 and 3?
Good question.
No, the one that...
Spectre?
Yeah, Spectre. There we go. Bring back the Spectre.
Yeah, like the Spectre was in Halo 2, and then they morphed it into the Brute Prowler in Halo 3. But I doubt they're bringing either. Well, I know they're not bringing either back. The only one that people are speculating is going to return is the Brute Chopper. They're not going to call it the Brute Chopper. They're either going to retexture it and call it the Promethean Chopper.
Wow.
They're just going to call it the Chopper and make it a Covenant vehicle. Or it's not even going to be in the game, and I'd be very upset.
Turns out Prometheans are actually brutes.
All this time.
but wait, what weapon got turned into the brute shot?
The Promethean shot.
Promethean shot.
No, you know that incineration cannon? Pew, pew, pew.
Wow, just thought about it.
Uber hacks or brute shot.
Well, yeah. It's a situation with vehicles. I don't know how I feel about it. Then, well, one other interesting thing that I found pretty perplexing when I read it. There's one weapon that no one's talked about, but it's been confirmed to be making a turn, and that's the target locator.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I guess it'll have the exact same function as it did in Reach. Campaign, and I was going to say firefight, but then I realized, oh, wait a second.
There is no firefight.
Yeah, maybe it'll be in Spartan Ops. I don't know.
I guess, because isn't it more like a campaign sort of thing?
Yeah, I don't ever see how they can make it work in multiplayer. So, what are your thoughts on target locator's grandiose return?
Grandiose. What do you think, LJ?
Never used it. Never really cared.
You never used the chariot, okay?
Well, I used it sometimes, but not enough to get not enough, so it didn't really give me an impression.
It's big, in your face, very destructive, and very overpowered. That's all you need to know.
I use it all the time for splash damage. It's why I have so many ridiculous amount of kills and on heroic and reach.
Huh? Wow. Yes. Anyway, time to actually move on to the very interesting news. Two new maps. One is called Complex, and it is a human-themed map, another one. Then we have Ragnarok, which is a remake of Halo 3 map Valhalla for Halo 4. And that is the one map remake which we were promised. It's Valhalla.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really like Valhalla. Being completely honest here.
It's okay.
Is it really, Mange?
What?
Is it really?
Yes. Though, isn't it supposed to be like the Blood Gulch successor?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Well, in that aspect, I think it failed.
Yeah, same. All I can think of when I'm playing Valhalla is, wow, I'm playing a worse version of Blood Gulch.
They don't. They
I wish
don't
I was playing
simple.
Blood Gulch. They don't. They really don't. Which is why, you know, I guess it would be a bit redundant to remake Blood Gulch in Halo 4 after they just made it in Halo Reach, but it'd certainly be a lot better.
But it's a totally different game that less people are going to be playing.
Yeah, exactly.
Stupid Valhalla. I mean, Ragnarok.
Yes, Ragnarok.
Well, it won't be exactly the same.
No, and that really is one of the biggest changes. It's already been confirmed. The Mantis Mech, the only confirmed map it will be on, is Ragnarok.
Ah, that's okay. Seems a bit overpowered.
They're putting mechs on my Valhalla, and yes, it does. That's the thing. The one screenshot we have of it in action is from campaign, where it's like killing phantoms with like one shot. I don't really see how that could really work in multiplayer.
One shot killionaire.
So. Mange, have you seen the complex map?
No, I have not seen the complex map. Seems a bit complex.
Well, I'll link you a screenshot that pretty much conveys what the map looks like. There are a bunch of screenshots. I'll also link an article for you to browse. I'll also link it in the description. Because it contains a lot of stuff from Flood Mode to Campaign to Spartan Ops, Complex. None Ragnarok, because that map
hasn't been revealed yet. Whoa, dude. Mass Effect pictures. Sweet.
That's what everyone's been saying. That map Complex looks straight out of Mass Effect 3.
Well, 2 as well.
Mass Effect 2. Eden Prime.
We even have some Mass Effect news.
Sorry, we do have some Mass Effect news.
You guys pumped for November 6th.
I'll get to that. But yeah, the map looks pretty cool. It looks to be like there's outside areas where you can drive around vehicles, and there are obviously the ramps leading to the inside central structure. It's actually pretty big. That picture doesn't really convey its size. But we actually saw a couple of gameplays, but they're really low quality. My big problem with these maps in this game, okay. So there are three maps that have yet to be revealed. We have Haven, Adrift, Exile, Longbow, Solus, Complex, and Ragnarok. Okay, that leaves three maps yet to be revealed. Haven, Solus, and another map I'm forgetting at the moment, though I'm going to assume Ragnarok because they've said it's this way, are Forerunner themed. Exile, Longbow, Adrift, and Complex are human themed. The last two maps need to be Covenant themed to balance it out. You know?
Flood themed.
the Flood aren't going to be in this game, man. Except Flood zombies, which I also have interesting stuff to talk about. I'm not sure you're going to enjoy, because, man, you're a zombies aficionado. I was for a long time.
A zombies so what?
Aficionado. Expert. You play a lot.
Yes.
You did. So, I guess this is a good segue, isn't it, to get into that. Changes to zombies. All humans are one color, lime green.
Wow.
I disagree with that. I don't see why they did that.
Yeah.
The Flood zombies' claw is really just a reskinned energy sword, and it functions exactly the same.
Well, it's more suiting, I guess.
Yeah, it is more suiting. Humans keep their shotgun/magnum loadout. The reason that's an issue is because we're fighting Flood. Why wouldn't we use the weapons in the game that were specifically made to fight Flood, aka scatter shot and bolt shot?
Because this is the classic zombies, man, and we're not Prometheans.
But it spits in the face of lore, just like the concussion rifle.
Are you saying that Infection somehow had a part to... It's connected to the lore.
I'm saying the whole reason they're making it Flood in this game is to make it connected to the lore. And yet they're completely, like, double-crossing their efforts. Self-sabotage, I
don't
know
what
they call
it. By making the Spartans use weaponry that isn't technically theirs?
Well, here's my thing. UNSC Infinity obviously has the weapons in their system, considering they drop them in ordnance in multiplayer. If you're running a Flood simulation test, you think you'd use weapons that you obviously have access to. You've obviously procured some of their weapons you can get at any time by fighting your enemies on Requiem that are specifically designed to fight Flood rather than your ineffective human shotgun and pistol.
But we've been using it since Halo 1.
Yes, we have. I'll be honest, I don't really mind too much. I'm not, like, one of those people. I just found it kind of fun.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it's not really a big deal.
It's just a simulation, after all.
Very true. Then let's see what else is there. Flood can have 3 armor abilities. Thruster pack, Promethean vision, and camo. So zombies have AAs now, and they're even more lethal.
I only seen Promethean.
Yes. Flood have increased jump height and movement speed, and their thruster pack has been amped up to a much higher degree.
Wow.
And it's like zombies have sprint and evade now, so it's like Infection alpha zombies rolled into one.
Alpha Infection.
Yes. And then, other than that, I don't really think there's any more to talk about. So, yes. That is the Halo 4 News Roundup for this week. It's a pretty interesting scenario. We're about to hit 1 month till Halloween, as I like to call it, where it's like a little under a week from when Halo 4 releases, and that's when the party starts.
Yep, dance to dance.
Yes, we'll celebrate by playing nothing but zombies all day on Halloween. That's a funny joke. Okay. But yeah, one final bit of news that all just so kindly brought to my attention. On November 6th... On November 6th, the release date of Halo 4... BioWare is releasing the Mass Effect trilogy, containing Mass Effect 1, Mass Effect 2, and Mass Effect 3, with none of the DLC for any of it.
Well, yeah, they gotta make more money
PS3
somehow.
And PC. Yes, they have to make more cash. I like how blatantly they're trying to take away from Halo 4, but yet no one really cares. I guess the good thing is for fans of the series that, like, don't have all the games or are, like, getting the games for someone else, someone that's not necessarily a fan of the series, It has all the games for $60, the price of like one game. All the announcement made me feel two emotions, and one was anger that I bought Mass Effect 3 at full retail price when I could have waited and gotten all three games.
Yeah, like you would have known.
And yeah, that's the thing. I can't really be too mad because I'm not a prophet. And then two, humor at their release date. And I just found that really interesting. I keep, like, joking with Eldrad, like, you know what I'm really excited for? And he'll be like, Halo 4. And I'll be like, nope. Mass Effect Trilogy. For I think that shall be a better success in the long run. Ha ha ha. No, I'm kidding. So, yes.
I'm excited for Mass Effect Trilogy, guys.
I'm not.
So, guys! I'm excited for voting. What about you?
Totally. Because I can totally do that. No, I'm kidding. I guess that reminds me, before we break with the news, I guess I should mention one more thing. And that is GameStop is having a promotion where you basically go to this certain website and you vote on two items. And whichever one wins, there will be three rounds of voting for six different items in total leading up to Halo 4's release. The three that win will be added to the pre-order bonuses if you pre-order from GameStop. And it's stuff that previously is not available in the USA. So it makes me think they're going to be giving away, like, the Locust helmet through GameStop if it wins, you know, its round of voting. Currently, it's like the Arctic BR skin, which was previously only available to Canadian stores,
is now available
in the U.S. So to any fans that are interested in pre-ordering Halo 4, I'm going to link the site in the description. Monitor that and gauge the pre-order bonuses effectively and determine whether GameStop's the best place to pre-order from and whatnot. To be honest, if I'd known, I'd be pre-ordering from GameStop, considering how skins work. Now that we know, pre-ordering from Amazon is, like, completely irrelevant. But
still gonna do it.
Yeah. But yes, that's all. Just wanted to throw that in there. So, alright. With that out of the way, that was a pretty good news segment. A lot to talk about. So, we'll go ahead and now transition into our final segment. Comic Mega Spotlight. And you're up, LJ, to go rant about comics.
Sounds good. Hello, and welcome to the Comic Maker Spotlight. I'm a little bit short-staffed here, because I only have Envy and Meso here to help me out. But we're going to go after, talk about a comic maker that actually has been around for a little bit, but has been spotty making comics. We're going to be looking at Quest for a Truth by NX09.
For the Truth
a little bit
deals.
Of background on the member. NX09? Wait, what? What did I do?
I said he was the truth the DLC.
I see. NX09 joined about 6-7 years ago, and in that time has gotten 586 posts. At the time of this recording, her avatar is a Homestuck thing that I don't get, because I don't read, watch, whatever, Homestuck. So let's move on. You get into the topic, and she's like, all right, everyone, this is it. The comics I spent a year on and off developing. Le poster, so immediately it's an internet meme, and I immediately want to go. The poster actually looks quite interesting. I can see the blatant use of the GIMP lens flare, which has plagued the comics form since Dark Zone 9's first usage of GIMP, but I'm willing to give it a shot. The comic series has a nice font for Quest for Truth DLC, and uses Rag 2.5. But there's purple, purple everywhere, and pink. Purple and pink. Get it out of here! So, from what she said, she's already made all the comics. And will release comics every Monday and Friday. That's great. So, let's look at the recent two. Comic 7 and Comic 8. My immediate reaction was that the text is screaming at you! All the characters talk in full caps. That drives me bonkers, let me tell you.
Bonk, bonk, bonk.
In comic number 7, we see Matoran, which appears to be the main character, going, what? Zanussi Andia? Okay, the names are very difficult for me. These shadows appear to be Anika Guy and Vahi Girl. And we're done with the comic. So, moving on to the next one. No, okay. Wow. Story-wise, it seems to be pretty good. The pacing is quick and horrendously confusing. The back end, but, you know, it's about a Toa team, Matoran. It has a classic feeling to it. Graphics-wise, it is not bad. I love the hand-drawn style of things, and it really blends and gives a very retro feel to things, and I really appreciate that, and that gives a lot of charm to this series. What do you guys think?
It's pretty good. I see what you mean about the retro charm and whatnot. It definitely has that going for it at the very least. At first I was a little turned off by the graphical style, but then as I read, I was like, this actually isn't too bad. And yeah, you're right about the quick pace of the story, but I think that works for what he's trying to accomplish.
Gee.
Oh,
this is a rare female comic.
My offended
her.
No, I haven't. Speaking of which, have we contacted any of the past people we've spotlighted in the past couple weeks?
Whoops.
So anyway, yes, these comics are pretty cool. I quite enjoy them. And whatnot.
I think the backgrounds sometimes work. Because of the detail of the rage sprites and the simplicity of the backgrounds. I don't know, when there's more shading, it seems to work more. And the effects...
Yeah, you're right.
And the effects could be placed better, like in Comic 8, when he starts to swirl around, could have worked on making sure the borders around the sprite were bigger.
Yeah.
Those are my thoughts. Oh, and no caps.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know, though. As far as story goes, it seems fair. Like I said, unfortunately, the comic maker has already finished all the comics, so there's nothing that can be changed. But from what I see here, it does seem to be getting better from the first comic of this series. So that is an improvement.
Wait a second.
What?
She's finished all the comics?
Yeah.
You don't see that anymore.
No.
or ever. I don't recall a comic series that's ever been like that, though. There, I guess there have to have been a couple. That's a pretty interesting approach to things, considering, yeah, that kind of blocks out the whole changing things based on criticism aspects. But at the same time, that means there's no chance for delays or whatever, because you have everything done and wrapped. That's an interesting approach to making a series.
That's the best approach to making a series.
Yeah.
I wish I could do that.
Me too.
Maybe.
Me too.
I know.
Maybe.
LJ the Becoming.
Oh.
Expect a status update soon.
LJ the will be coming soon. So,
comic wow. Maker Spotlight with Festo, LJ the Becoming. Carry on.
But anyway. All in all, though, I think that the series has improved from its first comic. It's only gotten 8 comics off the ground. And from the first one, it has improved greatly. So I'm definitely going to be keeping my eye on the series. I'm not going to bother with giving suggestions as to how to improve it, since the series has already been finished. But my main complaint is all capitalized letters. That is kind of annoying, and it really...
Yeah.
You don't know. It's just... Wow! This is an odd turn of events! What about this one? Should we kill her? Kill me? Are you, like, crazy? I'm useful! You know, it reads a lot like that, and it's kind of... kind of confusing at times.
Yeah.
But that'd be my only suggestion. Otherwise, I really enjoy this series. I like the style, and I like a lot of the execution, and I'm definitely going to be looking at this series in the future.
Yes.
Yup.
Yup de yup indeed.
Yep. So, last thoughts, guys?
Good work, yo.
No caps, fixing Nika head. Make the backgrounds work more with the sprites.
Yeah, basically what he said.
Yeah.
Do the impossible, remake all your comics.
Okay. That's our
opinions.
Wow. But yeah, so that's about it. Very quickly before we end this spotlight, I just wanted to say that we are going to be coming out with another comic maker interview very soon. It's going to be a Par Rox interview. That'll be out sometime this week.
That's an older one.
It is an older one.
Because I guess this is a good place to talk about that, isn't it? We've begun pumping out our older episodes, and we're starting with all the comic interviews.
Pump to pump.
Considering that some of the people are actually interested in some extent. So
yeah,
we'll be coming soon.
But yeah, so thank you. That's Comic Maker Spotlight.
Okay, sweet. Well, despite being a bit understaffed today, there's like some awkward pauses here and there. I think we did a pretty good job, guys.
Yep.
As far as episodes go, this is better than our average.
Wow, for the trio, it has worked.
Yes, the terrible trio.
Yeah!
The Adventures of Meso, Eldraine, Mange.
Meso, Mange. Meso and Mange featuring LJ. No,
it's an adventure. Anyway, I want to thank you for listening, because Kai is not here to yell at me. I can say rate, even though I'll say that anyway. I don't care if Kai yells at me. Rate, comment,
subscribe.
I'm like to if you want, but that's the uncool thing to do. Yeah. Well, thank you all for listening. I'm messing up.
I'm LJ.
And I'm Tenebrae Invictus.
And this is TTV, episode 43. Goodbye.